Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Greg Pickle. And our show is brought to you by DraftKings. And the final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando. They're ready to get back on the court. And while the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there won't be a shortage of excitement and no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings is giving all users a special odds boost for the first 3 days of the season. Bet $20, win $100 on any team of your choosing. And if basketball isn't your game, DraftKings offers great odds and promotions on all sports ranging from MMA to baseball. But to get in on the action, you need to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and make sure you use code KSN when you sign up. And for a limited time, all users get special odds boost. Bet $20 to win $100 on a team of your choosing. Code KSN, boost your odds, $20 to win $100, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim, he's Greg. And Greg, $20 to win $100, you got to make that bet.
Yes, there's no question about that. Yes, the question does still stand.
Where are you going to play your $20?
Putting it on the Sixers. I don't know. I don't have the first guess about the that's one sport, Jim, where I need some help. You know, baseball, football, even a little bit of hockey, I feel like I can look at it on a nightly basis and to figure out who to back and when to back them. NBA, that's just not so much my speed. I need some help there. So I'll just be a homer and I will take the Sixers, Jim.
Actually, that's probably where I'm going to end up going to. So, Ben Simmons launching three-pointers. That's what I'm counting on, Greg.
Yes. Amen to that.
Let's get to Ask Greg. Let's get to our questions. And first of all, kudos out to our listeners. Last week, I said we were running a little low on questions. They came through this week big time. I'm going to ask you guys, keep it up. We like having lots of questions to choose from. And especially the new folks, when new guys send in questions, I really like that. All right, let's start with Chris from Sicklerville, New Jersey. Chris says, love the show, been a loyal listener for a couple years now. This may have been tossed around in previous shows, but I figured I'd ask it anyway. Would college football benefit from having one commissioner?
Yes.
Clearly, there's no leadership from Mark Emmert and the NCAA. So go ahead. Yes. One word answer.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't think that, I mean, here's the problem. When the college football playoff was born and they gave that committee the control over it, not the NCAA the control over it, I mean, that pretty much took the NCAA completely out of play when it comes to determining just about anything related to college football. They can set the calendar, Jim, and that's just about it. And it's always been kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod proposition where, you know, nobody wanted to say in public that the Power Five conferences and then the College Football Playoff Committee ran the sport. But guess what? They do. And so I guess the interesting thing to me is even though the College Football Playoff Committee has a lot of sway, there's not one voice there that really comes out and speaks for the group in any way, shape, or form. And then you have all the conferences that that want to do different things for obvious reasons. And, yeah, it's just a bit of a mess. So, yeah, I certainly think that would be the case, Jim. If you had one voice overseeing things, I think the return to play would be not just a lot smoother, but also a lot more of a certainty. Right now, there's just a lot of people, who are, you know, making decisions unilaterally for their conference, across the board. And, you know, it's kind of messy. You got some that canceled non-conference games, some that haven't done that yet. Some still have a schedule. Some don't have a schedule. It's a mess. It really is. And one voice, I think, would have made things a lot easier.
Definitely. And even if it's just the idea of coordinating among the Power Five conferences, it's easy now to look at it during the pandemic and say, gee, wouldn't it have been better if all five conferences announced at the same time, look, we're going to conference only. But this has been an issue for years. Some conference playing 8 games, some playing 9 in conference games. That should be coordinated through the country. All right. Next up, and to follow up on this, it's Sean from Washington, D.C. Hey, Greg, love the show. With the proposed conference-only schedule this fall, is the college football playoff going to have conference title tie-ins? You'd need an extra spot to include all Power Fives, or, and this is a little snarky, so I like it, or can we just leave out the Pac-12?
Yeah, fair enough. Who knows? I mean, I don't know, Jim, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. I don't think we're going to have a college football playoff, and I think the best thing fans can hope for at this point is, us getting to a point where we can see conference title games. And because, you know, again, if we're going to be at a point where we don't want students on campus to finish the fall semester and then go, and then I guess start the winter semester, how are we going to have playoff games? I just don't get it. Somebody was suggesting yesterday, I read that they could have a bubble for the teams in the college football playoff. How's that going to work? That doesn't make any sense. So I don't know if there'll be conference tie-ins. I think that would be almost impossible to, though, just because of the fact that, you know, by the time you get to that point of the calendar, they're expecting to have a resurgence of coronavirus cases and all of that. And so to me, Jim, I just think that, we'll be lucky to have conference title games, period, let alone try and figure out what impact those will have on the college football playoff. I hope like heck I'm wrong, you know that. But I just think at this point, you know, things are trending the wrong way to even start the season, let alone get to the point where we can finish it the way we would in a normal time.
All right, let me give you the counterpoint, Greg.
Okay.
First of all, I know months ago a lot of people were saying, oh, if we don't have students back on campus, we can't have athletics. Well, here's the counterpoint. Wouldn't the players be safer on campus if there aren't any other students?
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, if there are issues where we do have to change to remote classes only, then there's no requirement for the players to be on campus. Let's send them to a site where there's the football playoffs, and we can put them in a bubble, and they wouldn't be at a disadvantage academically because all learning is remote anyway. And if we're going to have no interconference play, it's all within your own conference, I say perfect time to expand the playoffs, go from 4 teams to 8, 5 conference championship teams, automatically get into the playoff. You have 3 at-larges, and there you go. You have your 18 playoffs, and Jim is happy.
There's I have
your
no
answer, Greg.
Yeah, fine by me. I guess it was interesting. I'm trying to remember whether it was Yahoo or The Athletic or Sports Illustrated, but one of the national writers had a story that was basically like, you know, or I forget who they were quoting, but, you know, it was an unnamed Power Five administrator, I guess would be the way to put it. And it was just like, you know, we'll find a way to rationalize whatever we need to play the season. And you brought up what made me think of that, Jim, was what you said about the players, you know, having kids on campus or not having kids on campus. At first it was like, oh, there's no way we could possibly do that if there's students here. And now you're right. It almost is the opposite. Now it is like, you know, it seems like coaches, if they could, would push their schools to not have kids on campus and then say, ah, yeah, now the student athletes are safer because they're all doing the right thing. And it's an implication to other students would not. So, yeah, there's little doubt to me that whatever needs to be explained to make it happen, that'll be how the talking points line up.
Are you saying I'm rationalizing?
Okay, I'm not saying yes. You are. I'm saying that it's going to rationalize at the top level of the game, and it's going to be interesting to see what changes. For based on when you go back and look what was said in March versus what will be said in August.
All right. You could have said yes, Greg. It's all right. All right. Let's go on. Get another question in here. Ray from McCandless, PA, which I've never heard of. Ray says, Greg, there's a lot of talk about postponing the season until spring. However, the key assumption there is the pandemic settles down by then, which would actually hit right at the next cold flu season. Do you see an unspoken reality that it's either play in the fall or we're not going to have football?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of hard to like wrap your head around some of this stuff, right? So, you know, at first it was, let's move it to the spring. But yeah, I don't understand, you know, to move it to the spring and, you know, makes the assumption that we're going to go through the winter months and get back to normal. And I just don't understand how that's going to be possible, Jim. I mean, we just saw what happens in, you know, March and April of this year. And, you know, unless there's a vaccine by then obviously that would change things. But that also assumes that all of the guys are willing to take the vaccine and are ready to, get it safely by January or February. So, yeah, I don't know. It is a little bit confusing. Hey, I'm obviously rooting for them to play whenever they can play. So if that's the spring, great. If that's the fall, great. But I will also say this. The other thing is it's hard to kind of fathom is, again, the whole idea that Thanksgiving's being targeted is it's time to let's go to remote learning. So why would you push the start of the season back? I still can't wrap my head around that. You know, I feel like you'd want to start as soon as possible to give you as much runway as possible to make up games before the end of the year. So, yeah, I do kind of get the sense it could be fall or nothing.
All right. I want to get in one more question quick, and it's my buddy Nick from Berwick who says, whose house are we going to be watching football at this year? And he'll bring the beer. Now, I bring that up not to make a decision on whose house we're going to be at to watch the games, but it made me curious, Greg, has there been any conversations about your status, you meaning the media? You're typically at the games. Is it possible if they have games in the fall that you and the rest of the media covering the games will not be in attendance either, that you'd watch the game from home?
Yeah, I think it's fairly likely at this point, Jim. We don't know what the protocols will be yet, what the rules will be, but my assumption be, if you used to have three or four or five people from one outlet at a game, Jim, I think now it's going to be reduced to maybe one or two, and that'll be it. So I think that there will be some media present at college football whenever it's played. I don't think it'll be as many people as it used to be.
All right, that's it for Ask Greg. We'll announce the winner at the start of quarter number four.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. The final 22 teams are ready to get back out on the court. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app to get in on the action and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get a special odds boost to bet $20 to win $100 on a team of your choosing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.